This is Tani Talks Radio, where we talk a topic for the week for the audience members to keep. We're talking here about signs. We're talking here about these aspects of life, different things that we see along in our life along the way. Sign me up. Do you ever feel like you wish you had signs to lead you along in life? Do you ever feel like you could be pointed in a certain path in order to know where to go forward? Sometimes in life, we can feel that we are not sure where we are supposed to go. At times, we may feel like we have to look for outposts, for light posts, and signs along the way. Know that Hashem is always in the shadows, behind the scenes, sending us signs and symbols throughout our life. We have to look for the signs in life, in our life, and the life of those around us. If we look for Hashem, we will be able to see Him and find Him. Oftentimes, He sends us those signs, sort of a wink to us in our lives. At times, there are signs in our life that point us where we need to go. At the behest of Hashem, sending us small hints, small gestures, or small symbols. Other times when we are down or lost, Hashem sends us a wink or a lamppost along the way to show us when we are not alone, that we are not alone, nor are we ever truly by ourselves. We are not alone. Hashem is always with us. Hashem li v'lo iram, the famous song goes, Hashem is always with us. Oftentimes we could feel that Hashem is sending us the sign Himself. When a person looks for a house and the house wasn't on the market, but somehow they found it, that's a special sign. When you look for a car deal, somehow you stumble along to the one that has the car, the one car you were looking for, and the one color that was for you, that's a sign. When you can't find the stove you want and that one last store came through for you, it's another sign and a signpost from Hashem. Hashem is always around and puts signs all around us. We just have to look for them and see them. But you know, there are some signs in Judaism itself. There are different signs in Judaism itself. We think about the signs from different aspects of our religion, different aspects of our life. We think about what is seen in this lifetime, what is seen in this element, and we could see when we look for it that Hashem gives us the signs, He gives us the aspects, He gives us the aspects of the elements of life. We just have to look for them. There are universal Jewish symbols. Dr. Miller points out on Aish.com. We know that there's the Star of David, the Magen David, the Magen David, one of the most recognizable Jewish symbols, appears in many Jewish tombstones, a central symbol on the Israeli flag. It is fairly recent and has been associated with Jews for a few hundred years. The term Magen David, of course, is old. It's a long time ago. There's a legend that King David brought the six-pointed star as a symbol with him, as a aspect with him, as a shield with him when he went to battle. That they use this. Some think that their aspects are two arrows pointing up and pointing down to Shemayim and down to earth. Could be an aspect of it. Some people say it might be a central core, how Shabbat is in the middle and there's 6 points, 6 days of the week. Different elements of different aspects of what it could be like. Obviously, it's a central theme to the flag of Israel itself. The menorah is the official emblem of the state of Israel. The menorah is a key Jewish emblem. The Torah relates how Hashem Himself gave Moshe instructions for building this holy seven-branched candelabra from Shemos. The golden menorah was placed in the Mishkan, the very first Jewish house of worship. When they conquered Jerusalem, the Jews, and built the ancient temple there, they moved the menorah to the temple, to the Mikdash, where it was kept lit all the time. Holiday of Hanukkah, of course, revolves around the idea of relighting this precious candelabrum after we beat the Greeks. When the state of Israel was declared in 1948, different people gave different ideas of what they wanted it to be, and then the emblem that was really chosen to be central to the land of Israel was the national seal. The menorah was incorporated, was involved. Tourism shows the two men carrying a bunch of grapes that is so large. You have to use a pole, of course, from the story of the Menraglim. not a happy story, but it is a story in the Torah where they go and they scout out the land. That's a symbol itself. The symbol of the city of Yerushalayim is a lion against the background of the stones of the western wall, surrounded by olive leaves representing peace. It shows the tribe of Yehuda, one of the ancient Jewish tribes, one of the ancient 12. And there's, of course, different other symbols and different letters and different things that we see, such as Chai, which means life. The word is used often in Jewish aspects in Jewish life, of course, meaning to life, l'chaim. When we use it, chai is 18, and it's a numerical value that's common for Jews to use to give to charity, give to tzedakah. We think about the idea that there is a tree of life, that the tree of life is the Torah itself, a metaphor for the Torah. And there's also the dove, like we see in the story of Noah early on in Sefer Bereishis, that dove that goes around looking for a place to rest itself, coming holding the olive leaf, when the olive branch, when it travels around and around. Of course, there are other religious elements, the mezuzah, the tzitzis, the talis, the tefillin, the Shabbos candles, the Chanukah candles, gelt, and so on. And there's so many things. Judaism is filled with symbols, filled with signs. There are many different symbols and signs in Judaism, and really it is involved. But what signs and symbols do we see in our own life that could lead us along the way? Sign me up to see the signs in my own life. The Daily Lift on Ish.com points out how every person in the world waits for signs of recognition and affection. Students wait for signs of friendliness from their teacher. Teachers await signs of respect from students. Children want signs of empathy from their parents. Parents hunger for affection from their children. A customer wants and needs to be understood. Salesperson needs to feel that his merchandise is appreciated. So give everybody what they want. Signs can be inward or outward, pointing you along the way, helping those around you. Make sure to give the different signs in life to those around you. And look for the signs for yourself as well. H.com points out from Diener Coopersmith that there was a sign, an ancient idea, and one of the ancient stories that's not fully explained, that's not fully shown to us in Sefer Bereishis. When Yaakov goes to marry Rachel, they had secret signs because Yaakov knew that Laban, his future father-in-law, was a trickster. He knew that he would try to mess things up, so they had secret signs. But when Rachel knew what was about to happen with Leah, she felt terribly bad and felt terribly embarrassed for her sister, and she gave the signs to Leah. That's why it says in the morning they didn't have electricity back then, just candles, but candles don't light all night unless you keep relighting them. So in the morning, Yaakov sees that it's not Rachel. Yaakov is flabbergasted, upset, frustrated, furious, you choose your term, and he sees that it's not the right wife, and he says, how could it be? And Rachel was the one that gave the signs. That's an ancient story about different signs. Signs can be a key to a relationship builder or killer. Make sure to use the signs wisely and properly. Even astrology might have a place. The Ish Rabbi points out on Ish.com, there is a Jewish belief that astrology is a real force. It's one of the means that Hashem placed in the world to channeling the spiritual forces to the spiritual world. Obviously, it's all controlled by Hashem. It's all factors that are put into existence by Hashem. Someone born on a Thursday, the Gemara talks about, will be very giving, very generous. It's just the idea of what Hashem does, how Hashem makes things, and how Hashem directs people in certain ways. There are different texts that talk about different things. Chabad.org points out from Malka Tuger, in Parshas Chayesara, Yitzchak marries Rivka. Sarah had passed away, and Yitzchak was still mourning the death of his great mother. But when he married Rivka, he knew that it was all okay. He knew to be comforted. Why? Because he saw how special she was. How did he see how special she was? He saw three signs, right? There was blessing in the dough. There was blessing in the challah. I believe it lasted from 1 week to another. There was the candles that were lit in the tent. And they also had the tent of the glory of Hashem hovering above them. These are three things that Sarah had, and when Rivka married Yitzchak, Yitzchak got as well through his wife: the candles, the dough, and the heavenly presence. So these are signs that Yitzhak himself saw in his wife. We need to look for signs in our own life. They can have a special power, special guiding, a special post along the way that could bring us and show us and keep us involved in our life. The Lubavitcher Rebbe points out on Chabad.org, Alav HaShalom, a haven is of little use if it's inaccessible or the location is unknown, as is the case with the physical cities of refuge or in Miklan. The community has to straighten the roads, to repair the roads, or broaden the roads, never put any obstacles in the way, and make sure that there are signs at the crossroads. Which is interesting for us, because we need to have spiritual signs to get us along the way. A lot of us are lost, a lot of us are feeling confused and dumbfounded and not knowing where to go. We have to go find where the refuge is. We have to find where the cities are, where the proper places are. Signs need to point us and direct us and show us how to use our life, how to be involved in our life, and how to take ourselves forward to have a meaningful life, a spiritual life, an uplifted life. Those signs, those mitzvot, those chesed, those Torah learning things can be our signs along the way each and every day. We have to do what we can to push ourselves and to move ourselves and to prepare ourselves to have those signs and use those signs and to be fully functional in our life. Rabbi Sachs points out on Aish.com that even the way we read the Torah, even the way we come to look at the Torah, we have to read the Torah with nukudot, with the proper vowels and the proper ways of saying the letters, and of course with the proper trup, which is the proper cantillation notes, the proper cantillation marks, the proper sounds we make. Mapach, pashta, zakev, katan, munach, zarka, munach, segol. That's the Haftorah way of doing things, but also Vayechi Yaakov Be'aretz Mitzrayim Mapach Pasha Zakev Katon Mercha Timcha Monach Esnachta Zakev Gadol Kadma V'Azla Revi. These are different sounds, different trup sounds, different cantillation sounds, different ways that we read the Torah, that we go through the Parshio, that we go through different segments of the Torah, and it guides us along, it brings us along, it propels us along to different stories, to different laws, to different sections of the Torah. Sometimes there's a clue, there's an indication, there is a reason and a way to move us that we actually can be guided along, and it actually pairs up. The most famous example is in Vayigash Elav Yehuda Vayomer Bi Adoni, and then the actual trup is called Kadma V'Azla Rivi. So Yehuda, in this epic story of the two forces coming at each other, Yehuda was the leader of the brothers, obviously the leader of the Jewish people, with the Davidic kings come from Yehuda, and Yehuda's blessed to have kings come from his line, is facing off against Yosef. Yehuda's facing off against Yosef in Mitzrayim. He's coming on behalf of the brothers. He's standing up for Binyamin, who has taken him to captivity, obviously at a ploy of Yosef. And this epic confrontation where the commentators talk about how the other brothers shrink away, the trup, the cantillation notes, the cantillation marks, and how we're supposed to read it actually line up perfectly. Kadma V'Azla V'Revi'i are the names of the notes. This da 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 da. So when you say, you know, Vayigash Elav Yehuda, the trup, literally, the sounds you're supposed to make literally go hand in hand with what's happening in this epic confrontation in the story. The fourth one got up and spoke to the heart of Yosef. Kadma V'Azla Revi'i Vayigash Elav Yehuda. They actually line up with each other, which is a beautiful depiction, a beautiful description, and a beautiful image how the sounds line up to the story. And that's a beautiful thing. The Torah contains these musical notes, Rabbi Sachs points out, Zatzal on Aish.com. There's special notes. There are special things where we read about the Torah. It's not just words, but it's music. It's a musical way of reading the Torah. And any shul you go to, any synagogue you go to, any Beis Knesses you go to on Shabbos or Yom Tov, you're going to hear these beautiful notes. Obviously, it changes for the days of awe, for the Yom Nara'im. But by and large, usually every single week, and then the Haftorah has an even cooler one. I'm a huge fan of laning the Haftorah. I find it wonderful if I ever get to do that. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu melech olam asher nasa b'char b'nevi'im tovim. V'yikrivu yimei David lamos v'yitzav espeno shlomo lemor avish b'yani lemor hinei enochi meiz b'kivi. You know, there's different ways of reading the Haftorah versus reading the Torah. The Haftorah, v'yikrivu yimei David lamos v'yitzav shlomo v'no lemor. It's like a lower cantillation, it's a lower conjugation, it's a lower key, and it's a deeper delve into the musical elements of the Haftorah, and then the Torah itself has a higher one. But there, this is the way we're supposed to read the Torah. It's a sign for us, it's an outpost, it's a way for us. These are the Tami HaMikra, the Trump, the cantillation signs devised by the masters of history. And there's a special one. Comes four times in the Torah. It's different times. There are three of them in Bereishis, one is in Sab. It's like a pause. It's like a chain, and it shows how there's a crisis, because each time there's a trap, there's a reason why behind it to use it. Bluma Gordon points out on Aish.com, in life you need to go along the way following the signs. Determine your ultimate destination. Decide on the very, very best route to take. Be sure to study each and every day and make sure to study your steps carefully. You traverse your own individual highway and you exit to go to different destinations. Make sure you have long-term goals. Make sure you have your short-term goals. Make sure they're attainable. Make sure you make your hours, your days, your weeks meaningful and full of destiny. Make sure you find that path and traverse that path. Find the guidance, find the direction, find your odyssey. Make sure you take a good element to your life. Make sure you follow yourself to go into good aspects of your life. Make sure to figure out what you can do to be involved in the aspects of the life that you have. You get to do what you can in your life. You get to find how you can in your life the right signs. Hopefully you find the signs. Hopefully you find the elements. Hopefully you see in your life where you could go and how you can traverse different aspects. But when it comes to different things, you have to find yourself, what do you contribute to this world? What do you contribute to the conversation? What do you contribute to people in your life? What can you do? You have to make sure to have good signs along the way. During Corona, different people had signs on the lawn. Positive signs, kindness signs, beautiful signs, giving people uplifting messages, uplifting aspects to their life. What can you do on social media if you must use social media? Pretty much against it. I think it's a big time waster. On myself, I've fallen prey to procrastination on many, many of the sites. I try not to go to them. They're just epic, epic time wasters. Even Facebook, especially Instagram and Pinterest and TikTok and all these major, major time wasters. But if you're going to use it, then have good messages, great messages, positive energy along the way. Sometimes there are good lines, sometimes there are good advertisements, but oftentimes they're not. You could use it for goodness, you could use it for greatness, you could use it for the chesed, the signs along the way. Talking about these cities of refuge, we messaged earlier, sometimes we need the spiritual cities of refuge. Make sure we immerse ourselves, exile ourselves within the teachings of the Torah to make sure that we could find ourselves in a beautiful life, in a beautiful aspect, in a beautiful way, preparing the roads for ourselves to make sure that we could have the posters of life, the signs of life, to make sure we could find the commitment to life. Make sure we could do what we can to push ourselves to find the right signs in life, to follow the right signs in life, and do what we can to help it in our own ways. Signs are ever present in our lives in so many ways. You got to follow them and use them for good. Make sure you interpret the signs in your life in a good way. Do you look for positivity and optimism, or do you immediately see the negative? Look for the good in everything and every sign around you. Sometimes we need to use signs, symbols, and hints for us to study and remember things. Like when you're in grad school or you're in college and you need to use mnemonic devices and different signs and acronyms and mnemonics to get you to remember things. Signs can be fundamental in a marriage as well as in relationships to make sure that you see certain traits or certain signs in a Jew, in a relationship, in a person. Make sure to understand the Jewishness and to understand where you could be helping, God forbid, not hindering those around us. Everyone in the Midbar, by the way, every Shevet, every tribe had its own sign, had its own Dagel, had its own flag. It
had its own symbol, each one unique to its role and mission of that tribe in the Midbar and the desert, contributing to the whole greater Jewish people as a whole. Signs and symbols add more concrete ways to learn and connecting to Hashem, especially with physical objects such as the tefillin, the talis, the kippah. These signs, symbols, and objects in our life can connect us to Hashem. And symbols and signs have a true power, should be used in Torah, mitzvahs, and chesed to bring the world to a better place than it is currently. Remember that there are signs all around us. Remember, there are outposts all around us. There are posters all around us. How do we use the signs to direct us along the way? One of my favorite quotes, "Bederech she'adam rotzeh lelech, b'molichan oto." Hashem wants you to go on a certain path, will lead you on a certain path. If you have an ability, you have a want to go in a certain direction, on a certain mahalach, on a certain road, Hashem is going to take you. But we have to make sure it's a good road. We have to make sure it's a functional road. We have to make sure it's a Torah road, a mitzvah road, a chesed road, full of goodness, full of kindness, full of good things, and making sure that we are on the right path. Whatever path you want to take, Hashem is going to lead you. Make sure it's a path of goodness. Make sure it's a path of light. Make sure it's a path where you're brightening the world around you, where you are bringing goodness to the world around you. We should find those signs, those outposts along the way. Look for the winks from Hashem. Look for the hints from Hashem, the subtle whispers from Hashem, what we should be doing on our path, what we should be doing on our road. I could tell you that many times throughout my life, I felt like this is exactly what I needed to be doing right now. I felt that with the Fine Fivel, the book we published, my wife and I. I felt that when I started the podcast. I felt that when I fused and adapted and moved the podcast over the years, especially encouraging different changes and different fusions of it and different adaptations of it, especially to what it is right now. I feel like the DAF needs to be the DAF Minute, and the new season of OT, God willing, in September 2024 will be the Therapy Minute. The Parsha show I changed a couple of times. It used to be very long, then I cut it down. Now we're all the way down to 5 to 10 minutes. Pirkei Avos also adapted it. Now it's down to around 5 minutes. And the Tani Talk show started out with many, many different names. We're going to adapt it again, probably. Thinking about different names, we're going to use it because now we do it in a different format. And we still, thank God, are on Nachum Siegel in 2024 for Tani Talks Radio, Tani Talks Parsha, and Tani Talks Pirkei Avos. But the name of the Tani Talks Radio, I think, is going to change, God willing, very, very soon in the future. We'll change the logo. We'll change the look of it just to reflect that we're talking each week, but in a different kind of a form, in a different kind of a way. And we're going between the 20 and 40 minute mark that also started much, much longer, and we adapted. We have to look for those signs. We look for those posters. We look for those aspects. Sometimes we're exactly where we need to be. I've been privileged to use my guitar for kumzitzes. I've been privileged to work in a day camp in summer 2024 with my kids in the Long Island Moshav Abair. Had a beautiful, wonderful, wonderful experience. And we were able to use different talents of myself in good ways, in functional ways, in beautiful ways, really utilizing my OT, fine motor mind, also bringing a guitar on the Friday, and different aspects. This is where I'm supposed to be led. This is where I'm supposed to go. Hashem led me to different areas, different aspects. The one neighborhood that I felt very pulled to in Long Island is the only neighborhood we looked to. And we looked at 34 houses, and when we found our house, our cozy little house in Long Island, I felt like this is exactly where it needs to be. When we adapted the house over time to fit Kanina Hara, our 5 kids, we had our 5th kid in 2024, so Baruch Hashem for that. And, you know, we put in a bunk bed, and we put in a 2 beds in the girls' rooms, and now we have a bed with the bunk bed in the kid room. And we made the table long, and we switched out the couch into a nice, more functional, big sectional couch. Different things we did over the years with the help of Hashem, only because of Hashem. These are different things that Hashem led me along the way, the signs He led me along the way, physically, materially, spiritually, emotionally, cognitively. He knew how to lead me. There might be some things I want to do, some aspects to guide me. Also, being a professor teaching a leadership course in 2024 in the summer session was a wonderful, wonderful experience. I felt that's exactly what I needed to do. Hopefully Hashem allow me to be Zalcha to do that again and to work on 502 and to do many more 5Ls and to do many more great projects and podcasts. Working in the DOE, I felt like that was the right move many years ago, and I've been through many, many schools, so I finally got to my current school now for over a year and a half. different aspects, different ways. Hashem leads us. Hashem guides us. We have to find those signs. We have to find those outposts. We have to find those ways that we should be going, those directions we should be leading to. And think about signs in your life and the life of those around you, how you can make the world a better place by following your signs. Sign me up to follow those signs, follow those markers, those trailblazing aspects, those trailblazing indicators in your life and in life around those of you. And who knows where you will go, but hopefully you will follow that yellow brick road, whatever your yellow brick road might be, and make a tremendous difference in this world every single day. This has been Tani Talks Radio, where we talk a topic for the week for the audience members to keep. And I'm your host, Tani.